CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor. I welcome Gregory Copley, the editor and publisher of Defense and Foreign Affairs, who has introduced me to the Horn of Africa and the tensions in the Horn of Africa between three powers in this region. Egypt, of course, commanding the entry to the Nile and the Mediterranean basin, because Egypt's power is not only actual but legendary, reaching back thousands of years, must be considered the Nile and Egypt. Sudan, to the south of Egypt, but conjoined with Egypt in a present controversy. Ethiopia, the very famous, the long-lived, and the legendary Ethiopia, now involved in a civil war with a breakaway province, Tigray, and possibly an alliance with Eritrea to form a nation of 120 million people. Ethiopia, the source of the Nile, the Blue Nile, Ethiopia. But the Ethiopian government these last years has decided to build a dam, the Grand Ethiopian Renaissance Dam, which is now filled. And Gregory, I come to you because I've learned the controversy between Egypt, Sudan, and Ethiopia about the dam is not easily about irrigation. I have learned, however, that irrigation is a crisis in Egypt and perhaps Sudan as well because of the drought. What is driving this conflict so much so that there's talk of war or fighting or annexation by Sudan of parts of Ethiopia, and there's now a challenged negotiation, hot words, at the United Nations Security Council about the dam? Good evening to you, Gregory.
Good evening, John. Well, of course, the debate is multidimensional and ancient. We have disputes over the Nile and control of the Nile waters going back hundreds of years. In fact, going back even further than that with the creation of the Egypts of the Upper and Lower Nile and the like. And we have, of course, the ancient civilizations, the Kushite civilizations, which go in from Sudan, Egypt, Ethiopia, which in many respects predate what we think of as the Egypt of the Lower Nile around Cairo and the like. So all of these civilizations have interacted all because of the Nile over the millennia. Now, you have a problem in the modern state of Egypt. There is a water crisis, and it's a water crisis largely brought about not because so much as of a reduction in the flow of Nile waters, because in fact that's not necessarily the case, but rather because of the increases in population sizes, particularly in Egypt, which has a population now over 100 million, and Ethiopia with about 115 million, and not counting the Eritreans and Djiboutians and the like. So you have these greater demands for water. This has been exacerbated by the urbanization of Egypt particularly, and now gradually the urbanization of Ethiopia, which is much less urbanized than Egypt. President Nasser, during his period in the 50s and 60s, brought urbanization to a peak, because after the overthrow of King Farouk, he said that Egypt would be modernized, but they couldn't afford to modernize it all at once, so they would start with Cairo. Well, that just triggered a flood of migration of the Fellahin from the lands, agricultural lands elsewhere in Egypt, down into Cairo. So Cairo became rapidly this enormous and growing city, still growing. And there's no amount of money in the world that can actually keep pace and modernize that city to the satisfaction of its residents. So urban populations demand much more water than rural populations, not just for cleanliness and cooking and the like, but they demand foods which are different and much more water intensive. So as a result, Egypt's problems have compounded. President Sisi, who has come into office with a bid to reclaim the autonomy and independence and sovereign prestige of Egypt, has done so at great expense with increasing the defense force and the like. But this doesn't allow him to address the food and other economic needs of the population. So in a sense, he's looking for a scapegoat at this time. Yes, there's a water problem. Yes, it could have been addressed better by better irrigation practices, better farming practices, and more importantly, better construction of the big dam, the Aswan High Dam, which Egypt built up near the Sudanese border in the 60s, based on Soviet help. It's a disaster in many respects. Yes, it stopped the flow and the annual flow of floodwaters and down the Nile, but those floodwaters also brought topsoil from the Amhara Highlands of Ethiopia, and these enriched the farming land of Egypt. So now, yes, they've got more regular water flow. The soil, however, is not as good, and agriculture and fertilizers don't increase the productivity sufficiently. So when you do have a water and food crisis in Egypt, as you now do, President Sisi has to find someone to blame, and having a conflict, if you like, over the supply of water from Ethiopia is the natural source. Now, the significant thing about the Grand Ethiopian Renaissance Dam is that it has filled its second year quota. So that's the filling of the dam is now done. And these Sudanese authorities, who had been mixed blessing on this situation, but they nonetheless supported Ethiopia in the last few days. They said that during this second round of filling of the dam, there was no diminution of the water flow down the Blue Nile into Sudan and therefore onto Egypt. So basically they're saying, well, Egypt's been complaining, but it doesn't really have a leg to stand on. Still, the Egyptian military is using the Sudanese military to foment claims against Ethiopia, largely so that it can put the Sudanese military back in power in Sudan, and the civilian government, well, the civilian elements of the government, in the transitional government in Sudan, don't want that either. So that basically we've got this conflict there. But it's a really interesting situation, which now looks less likely to go to war between Ethiopia and Egypt. But there is still a demand for some kind of solution, and it will not happen through a mandate from the United Nations Security Council, because Russia and the PRC, the People's Republic of China, will not allow that to happen.
All right. My understanding then is the dam is a talking point to resolve something that's far more difficult to resolve, which is Egypt's demand for water, overwhelming demand for water, cannot be satisfied. And Sudan's government is not at this point what Egypt wants. Egypt wants a client state in Sudan. Is that what it wants, a client state?
Almost certainly it wants a return to that kind of relationship that it had traditionally, at least wants a subordinate sort of state in Sudan, not an independent one with its own strong sovereign relationship with Ethiopia, with the United States, with Israel, and so on. So yes, there's a degree of hegemony, if you like, in this approach, out of a historical perspective on security.
And Prime Minister Abiy of Ethiopia, he of course wants his dam completed, and he wants the power and the water from it for his own population. And it's his land and it's his water, correct? Isn't the Nile Ethiopian Nile at that point?
Absolutely. And under international water law, Ethiopia has the right absolutely to constrain whatever amount of water flow it desires. The reality is that Ethiopia has been very reasonable about making sure that the downstream riparian states get their water. Now, Ethiopia, though, is within a couple of months of selling domestic and exported electrical energy from the dam to Sudan and to the populations of Ethiopia. It's already selling a lot of hydropower to Djibouti, for example. So this is a major economic boost for the region, and could be for Sudan as well.
A renewable source of energy, Gregory. What's not to like about the Grand Ethiopian Renaissance Dam? However, what's not to like is, as Gregory just explicated, this is a tangle of Cairo of Egypt, Sudan, and Ethiopia. And Ethiopia is involved in a civil war right now, a conflict that is not resolved and has caused disregard for Prime Minister Abiy. This story will continue, but it's about water. And we all recall the very famous saying from Australia as well as the U.S., whiskey's for drinking and water's for fighting. Gregory Copley, editor and publisher of Defense and Foreign Affairs. This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.